God is good all the time.
Let me move this.
Okay. Are you? Is it warm in here or what? What's the problem? Gosh. It's 74. It's supposed to be 60. It's not even on. It's off. Sorry. Hallelujah. Gosh. Phew. Well, I'm glad nobody's cold today. Everybody's hot. It will cool off here in a second. Yes, and then you all be wishing we didn't have the ACN, but it's okay. Oh, glory to God. Oh, yes. Whew. Lift your hands to heaven and get cool. Get a drink and get cool, man. Praise God. Woo. You know, as we, you know, we enter another season in traditions. You know, we all, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus was not born on the 25th of December, okay? Jesus came into this realm to fulfill the feasts of the Lord. He was not born on December 25th. Most likely he was born in September on a feast. But we celebrate the coming of the Lord. But for you and me, we should be celebrating Jesus' birth every day, his resurrection every day. Amen. We should be celebrating his victory every day. Everything for me and you. Why? Because for me and you, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath means rest. So that means we're to rest in him every day. So we celebrate the Sabbath every day, not one specific day. We just come together a couple times a week for training. But the Sabbath for me and you is every day. It's our life. Because if he's the Lord of the Sabbath, then we live a life of Sabbath. And that means that we rest in him. Trust, rest, and wait. That's what we do in him. We wait for the next command. We rest in what he says. And we trust all the way through, no matter what. You know, there's something that we're going to be talking about Tuesday night, and it's, I believe, anyways, if it's God's will, I believe it is. He's been stirring me about some things. And it's a whole other arena and in another area of reality. And we'll talk about more of that Tuesday. But there's this gathering that, you know, Jesus established the feast of the Lord. There are seven feasts. And the purpose of the seven feasts of the Lord was to bring, in other words, in the Old Testament, every Friday and Saturday, they're from Friday night to Saturday night was the Sabbath. And they were gathered together. But the feast of the Lord was a time of cleansing. And in it, it was a time of remembrance. These feasts were celebrated and practiced in the Old Testament, but only Jesus could fulfill them. And when he came to fulfill the first three feasts. And that was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And that was the 3 days, his death, descension into hell, and resurrection. Then he fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost, because Pente means 50 days after he rose from the dead. And in Pentecost, that feast would establish his church. Because his church would be built by the Spirit, no longer traditions, laws, rules, regulations. It would be built by the Spirit of God himself on earth. Because his kingdom now had come, and now he's going to manifest it through his people. And that is the purpose that we celebrate and we look to these areas why Jesus came. So we got to erase all words of religion. It's not about a religion. It's about an eternal creator who created this realm with time, established his people, established the gatherers who maintain the universe, known as angels, who watch over us. And at one time, everything was able to see. Even when God created Adam and Eve, they were able to see the angels. They were able to see God. And so they were deceived. And then they were blinded. And man became under the rule of Satan's kingdom, who was rebellious towards God. And from that point on, man was born in darkness and needed light again. And that means we were born blind and we needed to see. See what? See the truth. Because that's what it's about. Now, there were those who thought they saw the truth, but they were actually blind. They even missed Jesus when he came. Because they were so caught up in the entanglements and affairs of the world and the traditions of men that God himself was standing right before them. And they would quote the scriptures explaining and decreeing about the Savior that would come. And he stood right before them and they didn't know it. A few of them did. A man, Nicodemus, knew. That's why he snuck to him at night. Because he known he got thrown out of the Sanhedrin Club, which allowed him, you know, free entrance, spa, massages, you know, workout room. He didn't want to get thrown out of the club. So he went to go see Jesus at night. And he said, I know who you are. Why? Because I've read about you. I know you. And he says, you know, there's, what's going on? He said, and Jesus told him, if you really want to know what's going on, you need to be born again. He says, what do you mean, be born again? I need to go back in my mother's womb. I'm a little bit big for that. Jesus said, no, you bonehead. It's got nothing to do physically. It's spiritually. Your spirit man is asleep. He's dormant. I want to awake him, give you a new spirit, give you my spirit, give you eyes to see. I want you to be like me, he said. But you can't do it according to your traditions anymore. So I've come to fulfill the law so we can break loose of all of this carnal stuff. It was something good to maintain. All of this was all preparation for me to come, he said. See, all of those thousands of years prior was all a preparation for me to come. There were certain things that had to be prepared. Roads had to be established. There had to be some kind of communication. There had to be writings of language. There had to be rule, global rule through the Roman Empire. See, we may look at these things as bad, but in actuality, God allowed it so that the message would go globally. See, there were so many things that were established in preparation for Jesus, God himself, to come into this realm. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 5? Are you cool now? Good. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. And verse 6. Would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. And this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus the Christ. Now, Christ is not his last name. Amen? Jesus, it should be the Christ. Actually, the word Christ is a Greek word, and it shouldn't even be in this English Bible. It should be Jesus the Anointed One. That's how it's supposed to be read. So Jesus the Christ, not only by water, but by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now, if you look at that, it's so powerful. It says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And it says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. And what does it say? The Spirit. Why? Because you have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit in the spirit realm. And then it starts with the Spirit, because the Spirit is what makes connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm. Only through the true Holy Spirit. He is known as the Spirit of Truth. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the what? Water and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. In other words, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a witness is within you. Why? Because it's called his seed. You now have accepted his seed. And the seed remains in us. And what he wants to do is birth that seed. Does everybody get this? He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son. And this is the testimony that God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is where? It's in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have eternal life. It's real simple. Why? Because eternal life was produced in a body. And we talked about this before. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, known as the Anointed One. And the body was known as the Anointed One and his anointing, and gave him a label saying, this is Jesus the Christ. No man comes to the Father except for through him. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, don't matter. Make sure you get your coffee in the morning. Iceberg, Hebrews. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For the law having a what? A shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. In other words, those animal sacrifices would never make you perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Thank God we don't have to go in our backyard and kill an animal. Therefore, when he came into the world, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Now again, the God-man. He is the God that became man. He is known as the God-man. Amen? He was prepared. A body was prepared for him. To do the will of God, to remove the sin or the curse of the sin, which is eternal separation from God, and restore the tree of life. Does everybody get it? So I'm going to share with you a couple things what he came to do. In this body, he came so that his body could be offered instead of animals. So that sin would be removed, no longer just covered, removed. He came to bring a will of the Father to all men. He also came to restore, to reconcile. And he came to restore the tree of life to all mankind. Anyone willing to accept Jesus and eat of his flesh and drink of his blood will be known as the tree of life. John chapter 1, the God-man. See, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And there's a tree of life. That's why so many people think because they're good, they're going home. See, the devil promotes the tree of good and evil. Because his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. So people think because they're good, it's okay. I'm a good person. No, you're an idiot. Why? Because you don't eat the tree of life. That makes you dumb. John chapter 1. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14. Don't you ever hear that? I mean, you hear a lot about that. I'm a good person. I don't harm nobody. I don't do anything. That's right. That's the problem. You don't do anything. You're going to waste your life away. And you're going to stand before the king that created you, and he's going to say, what'd you do with the life I gave you? Well, was I supposed to do something with it? Well, I was a dad. No, I was a mom. No, I worked. I did this. I did that. Okay. You did that all for you. What did you do for me? Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do anything for you. Well, depart, because I don't know you either. That's a terrible thing, to think that you're going home and everything's going to be hunky-dory because you're a good person. That is the greatest deception, Besides, once saved, always saved. Is everybody okay? Verse 14, let's read it. And it says, and the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And John bore witness of Him, cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who was in the what? Bosom of the Father, has declared. In other words, He was, because they're all one, He was in His thoughts. They're all one. God the Father, God the Son, or the Word. Because the Son didn't come until He became flesh. God sent Himself as Son. And in His Spirit, everything was done by the Spirit. So we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 Corinthians 15, He is known as the God-man. And only through the Spirit of the God-man can He produce men and women of God. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 39. All flesh is not the what? Same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. Yes. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, the last Adam, became a what? Life-giving spirit known as the God-man. Amen? He was a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first but the natural and then afterward the spirit. For the first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Does everybody get it? So when we awake out of this place, we will be in His image, in the fullness of His image. Right now, His image and character is within us. Later, it will be expressed through us in a mighty way. We will be youthful, young, vibrant, glorified bodies. No door can hold you back. Yes. Amen? You can go scuba diving with no gear. Basketball with no... I can play tennis on both sides of the court. Praise God. So the last man, Adam, was a life-giving spirit. The God-man. Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. In verse 1, the God-man. Would you read this with me? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Well, you're going to be called a tree of righteousness only if you eat of the tree of righteousness, known as the tree of life. The planting of the Lord, that He may be what? glorified. The Spirit of the Lord, that He may. So this is for all of us. How, you know, He lives in us, expresses Himself through us, if we're in cooperation with Him. If we maintain, if we stay connected, if we stay filled, if we continue to eat of the tree of life through His Word and worship of His Spirit, the God-man. In Mark 2. So this is why He came. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. God who became man, the God-man. In verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw Him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to His disciples, "How is it that He eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? Repentance." In other words, to turn away from the ways of the world and begin to abide according to the laws, traditions, and belief system of the kingdom. To live in the kingdom. Man, we have some powerful teachings about the kingdom of God. Kingdom principles and all kinds of things. About living in the kingdom is totally different than living in the world. It is opposite. The world is an arena of take, need, always. The world lives in lust. The world lives for themselves. In the kingdom, it's totally the opposite. As Jesus was a life giver, now we are givers of His life. Amen? So in that, He's come to call, because He desires no one to be lost. No one. And He came to bring the truth so that people would come out of the arena and deception of, "I'm good. I don't hurt nobody." What's He want? He wants people to do His will. Oh, if we could truly comprehend His will, then that's what we're going to talk about, but not today. In Mark chapter 5, hallelujah, in verse 15, it says, "And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demonized and had the legions," which means around 2,000 legions of demons, "sitting in clothed in His right mind, and they were afraid." Why? Because He had cast all the devils out of them. "And those who saw it told them how it happened to Him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with Him to depart from their region. And we got into the boat. He who had been demon-possessed begged Him that He might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you.'" You know, many of us have been demonized. Unfortunately, some of us still are. We're in demon management instead of freedom. And there's a difference. When you're in demon management, it's tormenting. Fear is the number one factor. Fear. But when you are free from demon involvement, you don't. So be it. There's no more cares. Does everybody get it? I'm talking about burdens. There's no more what if, what if, what if, what if. How, when. It's you. It's totally different. See, people, even, listen, believers can have demons and still be influenced by demons. Look at this man said, "I'm free and I want to follow you all the way." He was willing to leave and get on the boat and follow. He didn't care. He was willing to leave his family, everyone. He didn't know. I mean, you know, this guy was just independent and demonized until Jesus came in freedom. Then he was able to see and know the truth. And you know what he wanted to do? Follow the truth. He wanted to what? Follow the truth. I want to follow the truth. No more lies. I think that was the first amazing thing that happened to me was I've been lied to my whole life, and I don't want any more lies in my life. I want to follow the truth. There are still people that want to follow the truth all the way through, but some of them only want to follow it on Sunday. You can't. It's either a life of following the truth or it's a life of torment, one or the other. See, you're either free or you're bound. There is no gray area. You're either free or you're bound. And that's what Jesus brought. He brought freedom. And he desired everyone to be free from sin, from deception, from torment, from pain. Didn't mean we wouldn't go through things, but we would go through them. They wouldn't overtake us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In Mark chapter 10. Matthew 10. Praise God. Glory to God. It almost looks like Mark, but it's really Matthew when I look at it close. The God man. Oh, glory. Verse 34. Would you read it? Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A what? A sword. Now, are you ready for this? I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Hello, anybody experiencing those things? Well, you must be doing something right. And he who does not take his sword and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loves his life for my sake will what? Find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Jesus came to bring the sword, which would bring separation, would bring division. It would actually bring division in the area of spiritual and physical. He came to fulfill the laws that were actually, he had people in bondage. It was known as the tutor until the mentor came. Amen? And go to Mark 1, please. In verse 23, it says, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons know. Let me share something with you. The demons know the anointing on you. They know. They know whether they can get away with or they can't get away with. They know. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. They always make a scene when they leave. I've seen all kinds of stuff. Seen people squirming around like serpents, walking on their backs like spiders. Those demons will get people to do anything they can. And when that person's got a demon in them, they do some strange stuff. And I'm talking strong demons. Most of the times because they've inherited, practiced witchcraft in some way, did some other things where it's opened the door, even especially drugs. Drugs will always do that. Alcohol, all of those areas bring demonic, because that is associated with sorcery. People don't, well, I don't do drugs, I just drink booze. Okay, dummy. It's just liquid dope. Hello. But anyways, the God man shows up, the demons freak. Amen? Let me tell you, when you're fresh out of God's presence and you're in a place, there's people in the world that don't want to be near you. You cause them to feel uncomfortable. Does everybody get it? Oh, praise God. 1 John chapter 3. The God man. The God man in me and you. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed that what we shall be, but when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. In other words, sin does not have dominion over him in that abiding. See, the world thinks I'm a good person, so I don't need to repent. I've done nothing wrong. But in the kingdom of God, we repent because we know we are unable to maintain ourselves. Only he can. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this person, the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he was manifested to what? Destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? In Acts chapter 10, the God-man. In verse 38, for God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppression. There, you know how many people are on medication? It's incredible. Antidepressants. It's called demon management. That's why they're on antidepressants. Because psychiatrists and doctors don't know how to handle a demon. That's all they know how to do is medicate a person. They teach demon management, not freedom. But I've been a believer, and I believe in Jesus. You still have a demon. Does anybody get it? Why? Because that demon has control over you. Listen, if you don't have control over all of your members, someone does. Hallelujah. It's called demon management. Jesus came to set those who are oppressed by demons to be free. Amen? The world can only promote demon management. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care if you pray in tongues. I don't care what you do. If you're on an antidepressant medication, you have a demon. And there is an opportunity to be free. Hello. John 10:10. I never saw Jesus hand out any kind of medication. He didn't say, oh, you're oppressed here, take this. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. John 10, is everybody there? Verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. Hello. Well, you know, who's the ruler of the earth? Satan. Who runs the medical field? Satan. Does everybody get it? You think all of these doctors know the spiritual arena? Thank God some of them have gotten filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost and finally seen the light. And the last thing they do is give some medication to someone. Amen? It says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have it. Have what? Life. Life. That's freedom. And that they may have it what? More abundantly. Whoa, more abundantly than who? The world. I wouldn't want anybody laying hands on me as on medication. Of course, if I'm dead, it don't matter. Hallelujah. Especially smokers. No way. Don't touch. Let nobody ever lay hands on you. Never. Unless you know for sure. I don't like going to churches when they say, okay, everybody lay hands on that person. Soulish. Go ahead, everybody, just lay hands on them. It's okay. Pass your demons on them. Right. Run. We got enough problems ourselves. You don't need somebody else's stuff. Hallelujah. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. Amen? The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, he also brought something else. Ezekiel 36. The God-man. Yes. So that he can turn man into men and women of God. Ezekiel 36. Is everybody there? In verse 23, and it says what? And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord God, when I am hallowed, when I am honored, when I am feared, when I am reverenced in you. Does everybody get it? When I am honored, when I am respected, when I am feared in you. When I am talked about from you. When people are speaking of the testimony of what Christ has done in their life. Listen, if your walk stinks, so does your testimony. But you don't understand. My testimony is great. No, your walk disqualified your testimony. Hello? Verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Everyone here is from another country, somewhere along the line. Amen? And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols, worldly idols. And I will give you a what? A new heart. And put a what? New spirit within you. Yes. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put what? My spirit. That means baptism of the Holy Ghost. Does everybody get it? Let me tell you, that's what separates so many things. Without the Spirit of God and that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are limited. You can only see so far, hear so far, and do so much. Then you're limited. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your daddy. Hello. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The God-man. This is what he came to bring me and you. Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's read it. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the what? Deep things. Does everybody get this? That's why it's so important about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit sometimes waste it. They don't use the gift that God's given them. But he says, look, if you want the deep things of the Spirit, this is what Jesus brought. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these are deep things. Why the scales are moved off. And there's multi-dimensions that you are able to see. He'll bring you to places. He'll tell you to look. Other arenas will open in the spirit realm. He says, and I will give you dreams and visions. I'll give you tongues of angels. The gifts and the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested. There'll be no more limitations. The cap will be taken off. And there's so much more. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So in other words, your spirit man only knows so much, doesn't it? Your carnal man he's talking about. Until it is born again of the Spirit, filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The carnal man only knows so much. Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? Spirit of God. Now, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might what? Know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Let me tell you, when you begin to know the things that have been freely given to you by God, you can't stop. You can't stop. You're like, whoa, more, whoa, more, whoa, more. You just want more. And in between sessions, you're still going, oh my God. Kind of reminds me of, you know, the throne room of God sometimes when the angels, you know, they glory, worship the Lord. Holy, holy. They can't even get a conversation in. Every time they get ready to talk, they go, holy, the Lord shows up, you know. Why? They're going, moving more and more. I'm telling you, when that begins to happen, you want more. And that's why the word says that when there's a lack of revelation, the restraints come off. What restraints? The restraints that are holding us from doing worldly things. So when there's a lack of revelation through the Spirit of God, that personal revelation where God begins to show you things, where you know his hand is on you, when you know something's going on, you know that a dimension just opened up. You know something's happening. See, we should be looking for those. We should be expecting those things from the throne room of God. Instead, the only thing people are looking for is a check. Pay bills. More things. More materialism, because we live in a material world. Instead of looking for more things from the God-man that paid the price, that opened the veil for everything to be released to me and you. Maintaining the thirst and hunger, when you don't have it, you ask for it. Lord, give me thirst and hunger for your righteousness. Show me. David, King David, Lord, cause me to know your way. Let the righteous slap me if I slip. Don't let me forget what you've done for me. And don't let me forget what I promised you. Oh, yeah. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, by which the Holy Spirit teaches us. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spirit. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you are still carnal, you won't get this. The only thing you can do is read. Well, I read my word. Well, what if I took your Bible away? What are you going to do then? I did that in jail one day. I went into class. I told everybody, nobody read your Bible for 2 days. They were like, oh! Expose those religious jailhouse spirits. I said, why? I don't want you to read your Bible for 2 days. I want you to seek the Lord and hear for yourself. Hear for yourself. But doesn't God speak through his word? Yes. But remove the Bible and get it from the throne room. Does everybody get it? I love the word of God, but sometimes I'd like to throw people's Bibles out. Oh, you're religious. You can hear all the religious people. Get the Bible out of here. He's a cult. He's a hypocrite. We live in a cul-de-sac. We're not a cult. We're the truth. We have a true relationship with the Creator, the God-man. He left his spirit here. Hallelujah. But the carnal man ain't going to get this stuff, the natural man. That's why they can't understand your language. They don't understand those things. Man, every time I write a letter to a family member, they misinterpret it, turns all the way around because they don't get it. I finally said, forget, I ain't writing no more letters. They just defile them. They just don't get it. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're dumb and foolish to them. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, that he himself was rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ. So, you know, people coordinate the mind of Christ with just the written word. Man, if my dad was limited to this, we'd be in trouble. The things of God can't be contained in one book. Amen? We want the deep things of God. The God-man came to leave his spirit so we would have the deep things. He wants us to grow into another arena. James chapter 3. You know, I have a question for you. Would you rather know the locations of the scripture or the voice of God? Hello. I get people say, well, what scripture is this, Pastor? Who knows, man? Look up yourself. Some of them I know. Been doing it for a little bit. You know, don't remember them all. Don't know all the locations, but I know what the Word says. Because I know who the Holy Spirit is. And by that, he'll direct us. There's times when I don't know where it is, and all of a sudden he'll say something. I'll say, there it is. Better go look and find out. Amen. We have divine interpretation over here. It says even the babes will lead the adults. James 3, verse 14. Let's start at 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Don't look around the room, okay? We're all wise and understanding, right? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That's justification, isn't it? This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You know, there are people that are so smart, they're stupid. They have a form of intellect. Yes, I know all the countries and all their names and all the citizens and how many is this and how many is that, and I can't even make it to church. I'm so intellect. It's like a rope around somebody's neck, choking the things of wisdom from above. Rejecting it, the only thing receiving is the things from beneath. Carnal wisdom, material wisdom. Fun. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every what? evil thing are what? There. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then peaceable. Gentle. Willing to what? Does everybody see that? Willing to what? Yield. That means submit. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom that's from above. Amen? Go to Matthew 27. The God-man. Look what he came for me and you. I mean, look at what he's given us. You know, we don't have any excuses. There's really no, we don't have an excuse why we don't do what we're supposed to do. Except for laziness, compromise, self-willing, selfishness, just plain out stinking rebellion, and influence of demonic activity. That influence is demonic. When we begin to realize that that influence is demonic, if you could see the demonic filth, you wouldn't want to be near it. It is so filthy and nasty and vile. If you could really see it, you would run like crazy. You wouldn't want to be near it at all. You would want to shake it off. You wouldn't want to touch it. You wouldn't want it near you. You would want it far away as possible. Yeah, because people don't see it, they pet it. And not even know that they're playing with death. Matthew 27. Jesus came to open the eyes to see. He came. He said something very powerful. He said, learn from me. Learn from me. For my what? Yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is what? Light. Matthew 27:50. When Jesus was on a cross, he cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. In other words, God just reconciled himself to man. Man was not reconciled to God. God was reconciled to man. Does everybody understand that? Why? He chose to reconcile himself back to man. Does everybody get that? Why? He shut the door to man. Does everybody understand? He shut the door to man. That's why Jesus came in the fullness of what? Truth and grace. He came with mercy. God heard the prayers of the saints. He decided to reconcile himself back with man. And he opened the veil when he died on the cross. He opened up the dimensional port so that man, common man, who could become children of God, be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, could enter other dimensions and walk in the Spirit, see things they couldn't see before, make the unseen seen, know the evil presence, sense them, smell them, expose them. It says, and the veils were ripped top to bottom, the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Hello, that's my dad. And then the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Yeah. And then the coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Hello, I think that was a great, probably one of the most evangelistic moves Jesus ever did. Now, this was a time when Jesus was on the earth, and during his ministry, in about three and a half years of his ministry, many people came to him in salvation. People were delivered, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And many of them died. And those who died during his ministry rose. The old saints didn't raise. Those who died were in his ministry that were touched by him on the earth. That died, rose from the dead, and went into the cities. Many got saved. Man, I thought you were dead. I was. But the life giver went and took death, the keys of death, hell, and the grave, away from the spirit of death, the ruler of death, the promoter of death. And I live because he lives. Amen? That's what he did for me and you. Oh, glory. 1 Peter chapter 2. God reconciled man through the God-man. Yeah. You know, when we begin to review and really look what he has done, just take the time and really review what he's done. You'll get an opportunity to examine where you are. See, then you have something to examine yourself on. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Glory. In verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And I'm going to close at John 17, the God-man. God became man and left his spirit so man and woman could be godly. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world began. I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. The God-man, the one who came from heaven to earth to show the way, who left his spirit, left his sword, left the weapons, left the training, left everything for me and you, that we can continue to carry on what he started, and he's coming back to finish. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of Christ.